Hi, welcome to Connecting the Dots, the podcast where we share our stories from the battlefield of consulting. I'm your host, Johnny Hill.
And I'm Pam Crozier.
I'm Oscar Hernandez.
I'm Phil Gambling.
Hey, I'm Kareem Jamal.
Today we're talking all about how to recognize and admit when you're wrong or you've made a mistake, and what to do about it moving forward. So, let's get started. So let's start off just by talking a little bit about the different kinds of wrong that you may find yourself being, so to speak, because maybe you're wrong about a small thing, or maybe there's like a wrong attitude that needs to be addressed, or there's a wrong approach to a problem, and it just needs to be adjusted. So let's talk a little bit about like what those could look like and how those different kinds of wrong can differ.
I think the one that is more of a wrong that's everyday part of the job, the wrong approach, wrong decision, in that, you know, when we're starting out new projects or trying to ideate and figure out solutions, sometimes the only way forward is to just pick a direction, pick an approach, but you don't know if that's going to be the right one. And that early failure itself is like a valuable thing. So it's, you're going into it intentionally, and maybe this is how you admit you're wrong. Like, hey, I don't know if this is even going to be the right approach, but we're going to try this. And obviously that's kind of built into a lot of the early design work. And, you know, it'd be great if we had a designer on this call, because I'm sure that's
like intentionally wrong. Intentionally wrong is part of the process.
Yeah, it definitely can be, because you'll get a lot clearer direction oftentimes by putting something that is already not perfectly correct, because people will respond strongly and say, oh, no, it needs to look like this, or it needs to communicate that. And yeah, it's almost like it's the right kind of wrong. It's like the wrong kind of wrong is doing nothing at all because you don't know where to start. The right kind of wrong is being okay with making a mistake and letting that be a catalyst for learning more and getting closer to the actual solution.
It's like wrong by design. It's the process, right? Mm-hmm. Sounds like a title of a book we should write. But it's just to get that the flow going initially, right? And, you know, as Phil said, sometimes we just don't know, and you have to sort of take a stab at things, and you can disclaimer it by saying lack of knowledge right now. So, you know, things in the future might be wrong as a result. So let's get through this.
The easier one to admit too, of different types of wrongs, I think. This is probably the easier one to deal with because it's just sort of inherent to the job. But I'm thinking like, so other kinds of wrongs, like having the wrong attitude, right? Like you get on a call, maybe you're just in the wrong headspace that day, or in general, you're a team member who's just doesn't mix with everyone and you kind of bring everyone down. That's like an example that's harder to deal with and correct. And it doesn't,
it's more like wrong fit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and usually they're not going to be the one to admit that they are wrong.
Right. But I think there is an element of that, like recognizing in myself, oh man, I got a bad attitude. I got to work on that. Like, you know, talking about admitting when you're wrong sometimes begins with admitting to yourself, like, okay, I need to get over my ego or my pride and be like, yeah, I've got a bad attitude. I got to work on that. And then you can follow with other people, or, you know, apologize or take a break, you know, go for a 5-minute walk and clear your head kind of a thing can sometimes be helpful. Like, I think it's really easy, at least for me, to kind of get stuck in that mindset. Like, no, it's fine. I can make it work. It's like, no, it's okay to admit, like, I just need to clear my head and adjust my attitude. And then I can come back to this kind of with fresh eyes or fresh perspective and probably get more done and be more pleasant to the people I'm working with.
And sometimes you don't even realize, right? That's where you need your teammates to step up. If they're noticing something to let you know. Maybe direct, you know, hard communication is just how you communicate. But we work with lots of people, lots of different cultures, time zones, things like that. So that may come into play too, right? So just keeping an eye out or an ear out for that as well.
And then like the admitting of it. So, you know, you come in with the wrong attitude and you lose trust of your team. I think when you come back, say the next day and admit, hey, I'm sorry, I like spoke that way on a call, or, you know, we had that argument, I was in the wrong, that you're at least earning that back and repairing that damage you did. So if you don't admit, you're just further digging that hole, right? Like, because people are going to start holding a grudge against you and like, well, I remember when he said this.
I mean, I think that's a big part of it And really it goes along with the different kinds of wrong, but the admitting and being wrong often is linked back to making some sort of mistake or doing something wrong. And I was thinking a lot about this as part of like when we were setting up and preparing here today, but something I learned very early on in my career, right out of college, was I had a boss. I worked as an account rep and I had a boss, and it was just the two of us. And I think I screwed something up pretty bad. And, you know, he was very forgiving, but he sat me down. And he said, you know, well, the first thing we need to do is apologize, admit what you're wrong, understand what you did, and don't do it again. And you can take that in multiple different ways. You can look at that throughout, you know, your day, your work day, and even in your life. But as long as you're admitting it and you have some sort of solution in place and you say, you know, I'm sorry, this won't happen again, and just move on. It's like, once you get to that point and you can admit it and you know why you did it and you know it won't happen again, you just move on. Mm-hmm. You don't let it affect the rest of their day or your project or things like that. You really need to admit it and move on.
Right. And until you do that, it's probably going to be like lurking over your shoulder.
It will eat at you. Yeah. Don't hide it. And that was another thing, like, don't hide your mistakes. Just like bring them out and show the world, because the minute you start hiding it, it will fester.
Right.
The easiest it's ever going to be to admit you're wrong is like right now. And then mm-hmm. the longer you put it off, the worse it's going to get.
Mm-hmm. I think there's also an element of like when you don't realize you were in the wrong, and being willing to accept that criticism from someone else and say like, hey man, you got a bad attitude. You got to work on that. It's like, oh, I do. And, you know, instead of getting defensive and like, I'll show you a bad attitude. Like you could, you know, just being willing to say like, okay, what if they're right? You know, I don't need to just like gut reaction, make an excuse, but just sit with it a minute and be like, okay, yeah. What about what they said is right? Even if I don't agree with everything, whatever it may be. But I think it can also go the other way where, you know, recognizing, hey, I don't know everything that's going on in this person's life, and they might have an ugly attitude or, you know, made a mistake, and I want to be gracious, but still able to kind of like, hey, is everything okay? Seems like you're on edge, whatever it may be. But it kind of goes both ways, like recognizing you don't know everything going on in the other person's life. And then when receiving feedback, being willing to let go of that sense of feeling like you have to prove that you're perfect all the time or whatever, and be willing to accept criticism and feedback and take it for what it is.
That flows well with one of the things I was going to say, is like, make sure your apology is genuine and honest, right? Don't do one of those reverse apologies where, oh, I'm sorry you didn't understand it correctly, or you misunderstood it, or, you know, you're not up to the times. You know, don't have those reverse apologies, because those actually do more harm than not saying anything. So if you're going to do it, make sure it's genuine, you realize it, and deliver it as such without any excuses.
I think part of that is, you know, admitting, yeah, maybe I really don't know anything about this topic, and my idea was way off. You're right. You obviously have the expertise in this area. Let's talk more about your idea. You know, like I'm just kind of role playing one of those like, two technical people having an argument about how to implement something, and sometimes you get dug into your position, and until 5 minutes later, you kind of like, oh, maybe I was the one in the wrong. Yeah, you got to kind of come back to that quickly and just admit maybe you didn't know anything about the topic.
There's also another axis of severity, right, for all of these types of wrong, right? Some things are like, oh, they're smaller. Like, oh, I'm sorry, this turned out to be a two-day task instead of a one-day task, right? Okay, cool, you know, apology, we move on, we learn from it. And sometimes it's like, oh, we really screwed up the estimate on that one. We're going to be off by an order of several weeks or even a month, right? And those larger ones need an apology, but I think also some course of action, right? Like, here's what went wrong, and here's how we're going to try to correct it and stuff, right? The smaller ones don't really need too much of an explanation, but the larger ones, you should be able to back it up on like what went wrong, how one, let's serve a little retro, right? And how we're going to improve to sort of keep that trust. And I know we'll get there in a bit, but like how to just make sure that, you know, that trust remains and you don't damage the relationship.
There's probably a subset of things where it's like, hey, something really went wrong and we don't quite know why or what it is. And then it's more of a collaborative effort too. Like, hey, let's work together to figure out, like, did we miss something? Was there a breakdown in communication somewhere? Did a license expire and that threw something off that, you know, we need to just address it there? But like, it may be a number of things that like led to a point where something went wrong. And sometimes you'll know exactly what that was. And sometimes you need help bringing everything to the light and like figuring out not only what happened, but also what do we do now?
And we've been talking a lot about being wrong in the context of, you know, attitude or doing something wrong, but there's also the iterative approach. If you're doing something like a POC or R&D, being wrong can be a good thing because you're immediately fostering collaboration, everyone's learning. If you're doing something like building a first iteration of an architecture diagram and you're looking for feedback, most times you're going to be wrong about something. So yeah, that really builds on what you're working on. So
yeah, I totally agree that it's a great learning experience. Like the, you know, failure, I've heard this like quote in different ways, like failure is the best teacher. And really like the only mistake there is not learning from the mistake, right? If you fail but don't recognize why you failed and try to improve, well, that's a bigger problem. If you're like, oh yeah, I really screwed that up, well, I'm going to try better next time, then that's great. And like, I think that some of the things I learned in more concrete terms have always usually come from a mistake. Or I think I've put myself in like junior dev years and like a technical lead saying, oh yeah, don't do this. Like you want to do it this way, and this is why. And they're like, oh, okay. Yeah. Like that stuff really sticks. A little bit of the pain of being wrong kind of helps, like no pain, no gain, kind of helps you gain the knowledge. I don't know. I might be stretching a little bit too much. Might be wrong to take this analogy too far.
But no, I think that's fair. I think there's a lot to be gained from having the humility and the willingness to say, yeah, I was wrong about that. I think there's a fear that like, if you admit you're wrong, you'll discredit yourself or you'll jeopardize the project or, you know, make your teammates look bad or whatever it may be. But I think there's a lot to be gained from admitting that you're wrong too. And like, it can create a lot of opportunities for growth and for deeper trust. Even if it's maybe there's an initial decrease in trust, you can rebuild that stronger if you approach it the right way. So let's talk a little bit more about that, like the overall benefits of, you know, we've talked about it some, like the best time to admit when you're wrong is right now, kind of a thing. But let's talk a little more about just what is to be gained by being quick to admit when you're wrong and to kind of just jump into that without hesitation.
I think it goes back to that teachable moment, right? The minute that you recognize that you're wrong and then you admit that you're wrong, whether it be in a design exercise, an architecture exercise, or, you know, an estimate. But the minute that you notice or realize, the easier it is to get out of it, right? Mm-hmm. And to use it. So say you're off by an order of magnitude in an estimate. How do you turn that into something actionable? How do you work with your team? And then I think the interesting thing about it is if you have a team that is primarily, you know, of leads and seniors, and you have some juniors on there, that the sooner that they see that it's okay to make those mistakes and to learn from those mistakes, I think that they will take that into their day-to-day. So it's very important to lead by example of saying, we're not always right. We don't always have the right answers.
Yeah, I feel like I'm glad you brought that one up. That's very much how I think I approach being a lead. And I feel like I've seen that kind of like bringing yourself down a peg and not, and being humble, right? It builds more trust and pays off later. Because yeah, if you try to come off like the, oh, I just know everything, I'm amazing. People aren't going to bring their problems to you to even ask for help because they're really too afraid to admit when they might be wrong or make a mistake. So I think it's a great benefit to just be very open in, you know, in our Slack. Like I try to, whenever I'm making a mistake, I try to do it in the project channels in public, just put it out there. Like, whoops, I'm the idiot who didn't know this setting worked this way, but so-and-so told me exactly what I need to do. So that's also a quick way to give credit where credit is due. Like I made a mistake and someone else on the team corrected me. Look how great they are. So you can kind of use it for building other people up too.
And we do that a lot on our projects. I see it happen a lot on our projects still, but I think also it's showing that because we have juniors on our teams that it's showing, or not really juniors, but you know, different levels on our teams, it's showing that it's okay. And I think it's important also with our customers and with our clients, because we're very open And they trust us for that. You can have those conversations of, well, we spent a week doing this and we're completely off track. And then if we go through and we walk through our process with them, like we were talking about the architecture, or we start investigating something that they've asked us to, but then we investigate something else. But if we bring that to them, they understand it. And then we've built that trust.
Actually reminds me of a real quick example of an instance of this at a new client we were working with back in 2020, I think. And they were very strict about, sequence management, how authentication credentials and things are passed around. And I forgot exactly what happened, but somebody basically communicated something some server API keys or something through a non-preferred, non-approved way. Mm. And once we called that out, because we knew it was no one's gonna really notice, and that's a little bit of churn on their side to fix this, but hey, you know what, they've been pretty clear, this is how stuff needs to be done. So we brought it up immediately and it was not a big deal to fix. But I remember being told a day later, maybe a week later, by one of the stakeholders, we really appreciate that, that you guys were really honest about that, really mm-hmm. Honestly, really helps me trust that you guys believe what we're telling you to do and you're helping us here. And I think that little things like that go a long way.
The timeliness goes hand in hand with the trust, right? If there's a mistake made, you want the client or whomever finding out from you, then it's okay, you guys are transparent with us instead of trying to hide something or, slip it through. The key is timeliness. It really builds on the trust.
Yeah, that can definitely come off sometimes when you're overconfident about something and then somebody asks a question that kind of topples your stance for a bit. And then in terms of being wrong, maybe you're talking to a client and they suggest something that would poke a hole in one of your solutions. They might not be wrong in that sense, but being able to show your expertise right after and say, oh, yeah, you're correct, that's right, but we built a solution that takes care of that. And so that can really show some expertise there when you're on a client call.
Yeah, I think there's a very real dynamic at play too. We've talked in the past about imposter syndrome. And I think, similar to what Pam was saying earlier, when you know you did something wrong and you don't say anything, that's just going to feed the imposter syndrome more and more mm-hmm. and more. And it may still feed it a little bit when you have to admit it. But when you admit it and you realize okay, this isn't the end of the world, I made a mistake. Oh, everyone makes mistakes. It can go toward creating a culture of openness around your coworkers and the people on your project, but it also can help you realize okay, it's not the end of the world. I don't have to know and be able to do and answer everything without ever making a mistake or getting something wrong. And it's okay. So the interplay there is kind of interesting, where in some ways admitting that you're wrong kind of reminds you, oh, right, I'm human. I may feel like an imposter, but everyone makes mistakes and I'm no different, and I don't need to be afraid of that. I think it's a very real struggle that a lot of people have, but recognizing that being wrong doesn't have to feed that, I think, is really important.
Oftentimes when you admitted you made a mistake on something, someone's probably going to reply with oh yeah, it reminds me when I did X, Y, Z and screwed that up. And then that's a little bit of a counter to the whole imposter syndrome. You actually now gave someone an opportunity to reassure you that you're okay. Mm-hmm.
That's the real reason I make mistakes all the time. It's not because I screwed up. It's because they're good, training moments for the team. So
you strategically plan all of your mistakes.
Exactly. But I think it's, often coming in as consultants, it all feeds more that imposter syndrome, because there's a higher bar that we set ourselves to, right? We're coming in as the experts, so we can't be making mistakes, right? But, as you said, we're human. And so even consultants and experts that they are will make mistakes. And it's good on us to realize when we've made those and quickly correct course and admit it.
Yeah, the key isn't to never make mistakes. It's to know how to handle it well and how to turn it into an opportunity for growth and for improving things. So let's talk a little bit about that. How can you gracefully admit when you're wrong in a way that doesn't hurt the trust that's been created between you and your customer or your team members? How can you navigate that in a way that is actually beneficial in the long run, even though in the short term, it might hurt things a little bit? How you handle that can make a big difference.
I think you have to have that plan of action in place, right? Yeah. So you have to talk among your team members, one, before you go to the client. You have to make sure you're all on the same page. I think that just knowing, it's very simple. This is what happened, and this is what we're doing. When you're wrong, you need to have an action plan of what's going to happen and be very clear and very mindful with that plan.
And it matters even more the higher up that person is you're talking mm-hmm. to coming in with a solution. Because like, yeah, I don't want to have a bunch of problems to solve for you. Just, you know, what are you going to do to fix it? Good. Okay. So I don't really have to deal with that now. Good. All right. Thank you.
That's key, Phil, is that don't just come to me and tell me what's wrong. I need to know how you're fixing it or what the solution is or what your proposed solution is.
Yep.
And what the blast radius is, right? Is it so is the mistake just going to affect the team internally and we'll get through it? Or does this have ramifications that now this person needs to go tell their supervisors and such, right? That this is going to affect their timeline or we won't be able to get this feature in. You know, that's really what they want to get out of it as well. And in addition to the apology, like, how does this affect me right now?
Yeah, I think that's all really good. I'm also curious what y'all think about when, you know, maybe it's not me, like maybe I didn't make a mistake, but maybe my teammate made a mistake, or maybe it's, you know, even the customer did something wrong. How can you approach that in a way that's overall productive? I mean, we talked a little bit about like calling people out graciously and, you know, not holding it over their head, but trying to do it in a way that's productive. So let's talk a little bit about that when like, maybe it was, you know, someone else made a mistake or gave me bad information and that led to me making a mistake or whatever it may be. But that dynamic when it might not be me personally, but someone I'm working with made the mistake.
So in my role as a project lead, if someone on the team makes a mistake, I'm there to support that person. I'm not there to point fingers. I'm there to support it and help come to a solution. You know, be it bringing in someone else to help, like, what do we need to do? What do we need to research? How do we need to put that plan of action together? So I think that you want to have that, what we talked about earlier, is like, you want to have that safe space. You want to have that trust that it's okay to make a mistake, as long as it's not like a career limiting move. Right? There's certain levels of mistakes.
Right.
I'll trust you. I'll support you, but there's a certain level.
Right. No, or is what you're doing legal? Yeah.
Right. Like career limiting legal. There's a fine line. It's all about going back to building the trust and how can we move forward from the mistake?
Well, and Pam, in your position, there's also an added question. Like, it may not necessarily be that anyone did something wrong. It's just like, hey, this isn't the right team for this project. This isn't the right, you know, this person doesn't have the right skill set and probably shouldn't have been put on this team. And that's mm-hmm. okay. And it may not even be removing them from the project is the right solution, but, you know, giving them a mentor to kind of guide them or putting someone else on the project that can lead it and they're learning rather than leading it. That kind of, like, those kinds of dynamics right. can also be at play.
And I think that's what we try to do. If we see that someone might not be the right fit or have the right skills, we will add someone to help and mentor, just what you said. Or if someone is in the weeds and they just can't get their way out, it's who do we have? You know, we have a very solid team of leads that can come in, not even leads, pretty a lot of people that can come in, you can pair them and help get them out of the situation that they're in. So is that they're not feeling punished for not having the right skill. No one should ever feel that way because if like, well, I was available and I said I'd try and I tried, but it's not working the way it should be, then we'll have people to come in and support. And then if they weren't the right skill, they'll raise their hand and say, I would never want to be on that type of project again.
And to also show a collective front, right? The something going wrong is not the time to single someone out and said, oh yeah, well, it was Phil that screwed up again. not that I've done that before. And, you know, be like, apologies, we messed up. You know, there was a mistake made. And, you know, sort of in the we, the plural form, not singling that person out, because that really sends the wrong message as well, right? Like at time of difficulty, you're just going to throw this person over or whatever. So making sure that we collectively take responsibility for the mistake, because really at the end of the day, we're a team. And if there was a mistake made by one member, it's still a team responsibility that maybe we could have caught earlier or whatnot, right? So making sure that gets communicated as well.
I feel like that applies to when you're working on something greenfield that maybe nobody knows a solution to, and you just have to all get in a room and discuss on a whiteboard.
Yeah, it's just like what Pam was saying. Like, it's one thing to admit you're wrong or to recognize that someone else did something wrong. But the bigger question is, okay, what do we do about it? Like, what's the follow-up action? How can we help that person or remedy the issue and move forward rather than just, like, you know, get stuck pointing fingers or whatever it may be?
Yeah, I feel like some of those principles apply to when the client's wrong as well. You definitely want to be gentle about it. And it's also a great opportunity to show what you know about mm-hmm. something.
Yeah, coming alongside them. Yeah, I don't think any client would want to work with us super long term if anytime something went wrong, we point the finger and say, this is why things don't work. But yeah, seeing that as an opportunity to, hey, this is why we're working together, is so we can build the right thing for the right people, and mistakes will be made and we can fix that as we go. Yeah, I think it's also worth just recognizing, we've touched on this some, but like, everyone makes mistakes and everyone will be wrong at some point. And, you know, kind of the inevitability of that isn't something to be afraid of or to shy away from, and recognizing, like, that's why we are all working on projects with multiple people, is because not any one person can do it all. So taking advantage of that and recognizing that that's a benefit to everyone when you're all, you know, on a team and leveraging each other's skill sets and saying, yeah, maybe I made a mistake here and I could use some help learning how to do it better, or, you know, whatever it may be, just recognizing that the fact that people make mistakes doesn't have to be like a sign like, oh, I shouldn't work with this person or I shouldn't be on this project or whatever. Every project will have some amount of dysfunction or problems or people making mistakes, and that's okay. That doesn't have to be a horrible thing. What matters is how you handle that and talk to each other and find solutions together.
Yeah, I think that's very true. Like, I, there hasn't been one project here anywhere in my career that have not been mistakes made. And to, like, you know, promote Experio, I do feel like one of our cultural differentiators is, I feel like it's always been, teams have been great about making you feel like that's okay. And like we've said a few times in this podcast, like, not throwing you under the bus. It's not political. It's just, okay, yes, I think you said that, Kareem, like, we made this mistake. This is how we're fixing it. So I think that's a big part of why it's so great to work here.
I mean, we make mistakes every day, right? Just look at our Slack channels.
Seriously. Look at all the ones that say edited right next to it too.
Right, yeah. It could be as something as small as a typo or as big right. as...
Look at all the edits.
That's how you get to, like, the best product, right? I mean, look at the word mistake, right? Like, mistakes, like, when you're acting, you have multiple takes you're doing, right? And so that those are mistakes, because if you're at, like, take 41, you've screwed up 40 times, right, at that point, for that one scene. But that's sort of how you learn and get better, and then you get that finished show or movie at the end of it that is such a great product that, you know, makes you lots of money after.
Before we wrap up, does anyone else have any closing thoughts or stories or anecdotes to share?
I'd say don't be afraid of saying I'm sorry, or, you know, it doesn't make you a smaller person. I do it many times a day, just ask my wife, right? And it's just part of it, because, you know, acknowledging that you do make mistakes, and that's just how you move forward.
And trust your team members.
Yeah, things are always changing too, so, like, technologies are always changing, so you might be correct one moment and wrong the next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's worth recognizing there's a difference between having the wrong solution and not having the best solution. Mm-hmm. Like, there are differences and similarities there. It might not be that you were completely wrong, but was your suggestion the best path forward? Maybe not. And maybe that's something that someone else helped you to recognize. And that's, you know, doesn't have to be like something you lose sleep over, just recognizing, like, yeah, we could go this way or we could go that way. If we go that way, it'd probably end better. So, you know, let's move forward in that direction. Thanks for connecting with us today. If you have a complex software problem that needs solving, thoughts on what we discussed today, or ideas on what topics we should tackle next, feel free to reach out to us at podcast@experioinc.com or on Twitter @experioinc. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks again for joining us, and we look forward to connecting with you next time.
Okay, is this take one?
This is take one, and we'll see how many miss takes.
Mistake one.
Yeah. Right. This is mistake one.
Wow, Kareem, that was really bad. Like that had a full like face palm for me.
All right.
Sorry.
I'll read the intro and I'll do take me one? First and then we'll take one. We'll go Pam, Oscar, Phil, Kareem.
Okay. Hey, welcome. Am I muted? So.
There you go. All right. 3, 2, 1.